All right, welcome to 222. In a few minutes, we'll talk to Lainey Wilson, one of my favorite new artists. Real interesting story about how she moved to town, and she'll talk about the camper and driving back home to tour all the time. So we'll get into that in a minute. I do want to talk, because this was a big story in music with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2020. So, which, by the way, as you know, and Eddie's going to join me for this part of the show.
What's up?
You don't have to be rock and roll to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Correct.
They should, at this point, just call it the Music Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
or the American Music Hall of Fame, or the North American Music Hall of Fame.
It is the biggest Hall of Fame in music.
And, like, I think LL Cool J's in.
Yeah.
There are rappers in it. There are people that aren't rock. So it's a bit confusing whenever...
It's not a rock
person. It's not a rock person.
Yeah.
So they did announce their class of 2020. The Dave Matthews Band won the Rock Hall's fan vote, but apparently that doesn't mean anything because they did not get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think they will be, though, eventually.
Which I felt was a disaster.
I know. And they are... I would bet the farm that they're going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Eventually.
Absolutely.
And maybe next year because everybody's pissed. And by everybody, the fan vote.
Right.
It's always a bunch of snobs that vote for the award shows for the most part. But they, and so there are 1,000 industry professionals that vote. And if you win the fan vote, it counts as one vote.
Oh, that's that one. That makes sense.
I know. It should count as like 250 votes.
Yeah.
But they didn't win. So here we go. Here are the people in this year. It's the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Depeche Mode. The Depeche Mode, I was like, Dave Matthews should be in over them.
Older.
Okay.
Older band.
Nine Inch Nails. Not older.
Not older, probably at the same time.
T-Rex, which was interesting.
Do you know more than this song?
I don't know.
T-Rex?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I bet I would. This was,
are you going to like an app? Because that's what I always do. I'm like, what are their top fives?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to do.
Because I don't.
Cosmic Dancer?
Don't know.
Hold on. Turn that down for a second, please. I was dancing when I was 12.
Never heard it. So it's interesting that, like, you know, they. No.
Were they, I wonder if they're super popular.
Maybe in their time, they were, like, just killing it.
I missed the T-Rex vote.
Yeah, me too.
Notorious B.I.G. got in. He's a rapper, so you don't have to be rock and roll. Pat Benatar also didn't make it, and she was number 2 in the fan vote. She didn't. So Dave and
right.
Pat Benatar didn't make it. Artists become eligible 25 years after the release of their first record. So here are the people that have been snubbed, the biggest snubs. Tina Turner. Can't believe she's not in.
Yeah, crazy.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She's been snubbed for 22 years.
She should definitely be in it by now.
Here's one they say, Outkast. They've been snubbed for 2 years.
They'll get there.
What's this list from, Mike? I'd like to credit whomever I'm pulling this list from, unless you made the list.
I made it.
Okay, I'm going to credit Mike D. then for making this list. Soundgarden, they've been snubbed 9 years.
They'll get it.
I don't feel like they should be in over Dave Matthews, though.
Nope.
I think Dave Matthews jumps into them. The Smiths, listen.
Big part of music, dude.
Never been a Smiths guy.
Me either. I don't know what I missed about the Smiths, but, I mean, I do acknowledge them and Morrissey and all that.
Morrissey don't get the Smiths. But you know what's crazy about Morrissey? With Mexican culture?
Huge.
He's huge.
Huge, dude. You're absolutely right.
Why?
I don't know why. We love him.
We do. It's a weird thing. Mexicans.
I didn't even know I liked Morrissey until I was like, who is that? I was like, oh, I love that.
Did you love it without knowing everybody else loved it?
Yeah. I just started listening to it, and then I realized it's a thing.
Devo has been snubbed for 18 years. Whatever.
Whatever.
This is more like a novelty to me.
Sure. They'll get in.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. You Must Whip It.
The Pixies?
Yeah, that's a pre-grunge.
But I don't think it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know, dude. There's a lot of... Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Like, that's like a solid 280 hitter in baseball. Like, really good.
I bet you Michael disagree.
I like the Pixies a lot.
I like the Pixies, too. I watched them play a show, like, 6 months ago here. So I like the Pixies.
Man, when I first saw the Pixies, the girl, whoever the bassist is, she came up with a cigarette, and she sucked it down for, like, 30 seconds and then blew it out and they started playing it. And it was like, whoa.
All of it?
The whole cigarette. She sucked it down in 30 seconds. And that's how they started their show. I'm like, wow, this is, she's going to make it for a long time.
Here's one that has been jobbed by not getting in. And I'll give you some hints, but mostly for their, because they were more than just music, very political. You didn't have to agree with them. And it wasn't political like Republican or Democrat at first. It was mostly like ideas.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You too.
No. Is you two in though?
I believe they are, yeah.
Okay. Lots of politics. Music was great. Massive hits. They've been platinum. Their first album went 3 times platinum. They probably don't care that much. At least the lead singer probably doesn't. Anything? They're going to get back together real soon.
They're going to get back together real soon?
Mm-hmm. Right? Aren't they doing a reunion?
I believe so, yeah.
Smashing Pumpkins? Mm-mm.
Even more. More political and idea-based.
Mm.
When I work out, I still listen. I still hit some of this.
I don't have it. Oh, yeah. This was big for music.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yes.
Could not get enough when it came out. Zach De La Roca, I was like, this, I don't even know what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's pissed at something. And I'm into it.
Yeah. They're pissed at something.
Yeah.
I don't know half what the songs are about, but yeah. Well, they mean something.
Those are the people who got in. Those are the snubs.
And you two got in 2005.
Okay.
Well, they've been in a while.
I had a friend of mine tweet that I guess it's going to take a woman to die to get in. Only dead women can get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Interesting.
Because there just really aren't. You don't get in if you're alive.
Well, one time I made a dumb tweet like that about myself. when I didn't win the CMA award, it was early on in my career. I was like, I guess somebody on the board's got to die for someone that's different than everybody else to get in.
Yeah.
Nobody died, and eventually we won many times.
Yeah, so I don't know.
All right, there you go. Welcome to episode 222 with Lainey Wilson, who last night, and my voice is still a little scratchy from last night, you played the Ryman with my band.
Yes.
And I had to play 3 hours last night.
So, I don't know how you did it.
So my boy, and I had to do a radio show this morning. So my night went into, I was at till about 1. I had to get up at 4 to do the radio show.
Golly.
But it's cool because you were also there last night.
I was there.
What'd you think?
It was my first time
playing
the Ryman. And man, it was crazy. Literally, the first thing I said when I got up to the microphone was, I feel the Holy Spirit up in here. And it was crazy. I mean, I've had friends play it and they tell me, you know, how it feels. And it was just, it was nuts knowing that some of my heroes have stood in that same exact spot, even side stage, knowing that they were nervous on the side stage. It's just crazy.
It's crazy, yeah. It's definitely crazy. And what's cool for me is now that I get to play it a decent amount from doing shows there every year to, you know, I'll do the Opry at the Ryman a few times a year.
Yeah.
And what's cool is to see people again do it the first time.
Yep.
I don't have any kids, but I imagine that's what it's like. To get to bring your kids and let them do something. Like with you and Heath, and neither one of you guys, Sanders, neither one of you guys got to play on that stage. And so it was cool to actually see both of you guys up there.
It was nuts. Heath is awesome too. I think he was just as nervous as I was.
This is your first podcast. Yeah. Rule number one of podcasts.
Okay.
Lean in and talk right into the microphone.
Like this.
There we go. You like that, Mike?
It's good.
Before and don't swivel in your chair.
Before we went on, she's like, I've never done a podcast. I was like, well, we'll get through
it
together.
Let me get up in there.
We were talking, and I don't know if, well, this is what happened. I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
I got a message earlier from your label, and they were like, Lainey doesn't know this, but she's playing the Opry on February 14th. And I said, oh, Lainey knows it, because we talked about it on the Ryman stage yesterday.
I knew it was coming.
They were like, you can tell her on the podcast. And I was like,
surprise.
I was like, well, we talked about it yesterday. So first of all, let me say this. You haven't played the Grand Ole Opry, but congratulations. You'll
Thank
be making
you so
your Opry debut February 14th.
Oh, my gosh. What a Valentine's Day.
So to play the Opry for the first time is another one of those humongous like things that growing up listening to country music, you probably never thought you'd get to do. You dreamed you would get to do it. But how does that make you feel that you have an Opry debut coming up?
So I remember I was probably 9, 9 and a half years old. My parents took me to the Opry. And I remember exactly where I was sitting. I was sitting on one of those back pews all the way to stage right. And we saw Crystal Gayle, Bill Anderson. Man, the lineup was stacked, Little Jimmy Dickens. And I remember just sitting there thinking, like, I want to be up there. I want to be up there. I wasn't even, I didn't know what I mean, I wrote my first song and, you know, thought like it was just a little dream of mine or whatever. But yeah, it was real far-fetched, but I can't believe that I'm actually going to be able to stand up there and sing. It's nuts. I'm telling you. So like a lot of girls, young girls dream about, you know, their wedding day and dresses and all that. And to be honest with you, mine has always been playing the Grand Ole Opry.
How did you find out early?
They weren't supposed to tell me, but they kind of let it slip.
Who is they? You didn't have to call anyone out. Was it someone at the label, someone at the Opry?
No, it wasn't anybody at the Opry. Okay. It was somebody on my team. So.
Well, the big surprise was not. Because
surprise!
When I was reached out to today, they're like, hey, you can tell her. And I didn't want to come on here and lie and tell you, hey, fake it.
Hey,
and I was like, I was like, we already had that conversation. We talked about it last night at the Ryman. So, but it is a big deal. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
With you, you're from a real small town, Louisiana.
Yep.
What's the name of your town?
Baskin.
And Baskin has how many people?
300.
A town of 300 people, because I grew up in a town of 700 people, we didn't have Walmart. We would say go to town to get something. Yeah. Like that's what we had to do, is go to town.
That's right.
No traffic. I don't have any traffic lights. We only got a cell phone tower about 2 years ago at this point.
Uh-huh.
So a town of 300, tell me about that.
So you get it. You understand.
Well, I don't know. You tell me. But
oh
I understand
gosh.
Small town.
Okay. Well, I mean, all small towns are pretty similar, but mine, we have a caution light and a bunch of cornfields. Pretty much everybody knows everybody. Half of them are my family. And, man, we have a convenience store called Cupid's Corner.
Oh, you have a store?
We have a store. Well,
good for you guys. We just got on the outside of Mountain Pine a Dollar General.
All right,
just
now. Just. Stepping it up.
Yeah, and that's in the last year or so. But yeah, what's in the store? Do they also cook food? Because in our little, like, the one little, like, gas station grocery store, they also cook food, and that's where we'd go, and we'd take our food stamps, and we'd go buy food down there.
Well, it's like, you know, that nasty, good gas station food, you know, like those deep-fried Hot Pockets, yeah. Corn dog, stuff like that, Crispitos, man, the good stuff.
So in a town of 300, what's your school like?
So I actually had to go over to the town next to me to go to school, because, I mean, there's not a high school in our town. But I still, even though I had to go next door to a town called Winsboro, I only graduated with 24 kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Even a little small. I mean, I got with 42 or so. So my school was big compared to yours.
Yep.
24 kids.
24 kids. And that was a big class.
Really? And mine was a big class too.
Yep.
With 24 kids, where did you kind of fall into that mix?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm very different from all 24 of those people. I think every single one of them might be married now with babies.
Yeah, probably pretty quickly too.
Oh my gosh!
Because in a small town, if you don't run out as fast as you can, you stay in forever.
That's right.
And the first thing you start doing is having a family.
That's it.
And a little bit of me is envious of that, because I ran so hard and I feel like I'm still running, not from it, but toward a goal.
Yep, I get it.
And so I do look back at some of my friends that have families and kids, and I'm a bit envious of that.
And you know, it's weird because I think we're envious of them, but they're also envious of us. They're like, dang, like they get to do some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, my sister, we're 19 months apart. She is an accountant.
Older or younger?
Older. Yep. I mean,
that's as stable of a job as you can possibly have. She knows numbers. She has a skill that she can use and always go forward. You are an artist. You don't know if you're getting paid next week.
You're right about that.
What does she think about your career?
Oh, she's excited. I think for the longest time, because we're so close, I think she was a little upset that I was in Nashville and missed me a whole lot. But I think she's just always also known that, like, I was going to figure out how to do this one way or another. And she told me the other night, she said, I'm just so glad that people are finally starting to, you know, pay attention to that annoying voice that she had to listen to in the kitchen growing up. So,
was this always the dream for you to move to Nashville and be a singer?
Yep, always.
Did you ever know a time when it wasn't?
Never. It's so weird. Like, honestly, as hard as it's been and everything, I've kind of had like a sense of peace about knowing that this is what I'm supposed to do. And yeah, I've from a very young age, I knew I wanted to move here. I think I told you the story one time, but I'll tell you again. My parents took us on a family vacation to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And on our way home to Louisiana, we drove through Nashville. And that was when I had went to the Grand Ole Opry my first time in Nashville. And I remember being in the back seat, and I think I was staring at the Batman building. And I said, this is home. And I just knew it. For some weird, I was like a weird kid. And my mama turned around in the back seat, and she was like, Lainey, don't say that. You know, you're my baby. But I've always known. So I went to college. I think I did like in class a year and a half, and then I started taking online classes. And
where'd you go to college?
ULM in Monroe.
Okay.
And got that general studies degree, you know. And then,
did you feel like as you're in school and you weren't going to use that, you just wanted to get out of school and start doing what you were meant to do?
I hated it. Yes. Well, finally, after a year and a half of being in class, and I just knew I was supposed to be in Nashville. I was like, I can't wait like another 3 years and then move up there. Like, I got to do this now, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. Like, you know, I got to chase this down. So I finally started taking online classes, moved up here, and I've been here 9 years.
Really? No, you got here before I did.
9 years.
Wow. And to most, including myself, you're a brand new artist.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy, except for that's everyone's story.
Yep.
You know, I have friends that are here that have been here 5 or 6 years, and they are just exhausted. They haven't got their big break. Yep. They're like, I don't know if it's ever going to come.
Yep.
And there are a couple of artists that I kind of point toward and go, and you'll be another one, and go, oh, these brand new artists, mm-hmm. like Lainey, Ingrid is another one.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Been here for a while.
Long time.
Grinding it out, and she's brand new.
Isn't it crazy?
But you have to work a long time to be brand new.
I know. It is nuts. Yeah, I moved up here in a camper.
So tell me about that. Did you move from Monroe here?
I did. Straight from Monroe.
Now, is it a camper that you drive, or is it one where you put on the ball of the truck and drive it up?
Yeah, it was a bumper pull.
Yeah.
So hooked it up to the truck, brought it up here. There was actually a guy from my hometown. His name was Jerry Cupid, and he owned Cupid Records. It was like Ken Mellon's, Kevin Sharp back in the day. And long story short, my grandfather gave him, I think it was in the late 70s, he gave him just a few $100 to help him move up to Nashville and get started. So as a favor in return, years later, he let me live in his studio parking lot for free.
Wow.
So I didn't have
came
to pay.
Came all the way back around.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
So, yeah, I bummed water, Wi-Fi, electricity. I was going to college online the Wi-Fi would pick up.
how long did you live in that place for free?
3 years.
And he was cool with it?
He was absolutely cool with it.
And so because you were able to do that, that allowed you to actually go out and pursue being creative, which, by the way, there's no money in intro to creative.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no money for rent. There's no money for Wi-Fi. No. There's no money for, yeah.
And, you know, this is crazy, but to park a camper at a KOA around here, it's like $800-900 a month. So you might as well have an apartment. So it was kind of one of those, I was just paying my note on my trailer, and that was all, and gas. So I was still traveling back to Louisiana at that time, playing shows, and that's how I was making my money to eat and stay alive.
So you're here, and what are you doing all week as you're not playing shows yet, but you're playing shows later in the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yep.
So what are you doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Nashville?
Well, so for the longest time, so Jerry Cupid, the guy that let me live in his yard, basically, he kind of took me under his wing, and we would write together every single day, and I wrote with him literally like a couple times a day for like 3 years, and he's really the one that taught me how to write a song. And I don't know if you remember that Ken Mellon song, I'm Just an Old Jukebox Junkie.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he wrote that. And he taught me how to do it. And when you write 300 plus songs of somebody, I mean, you really get to know them. And but it's a sad story, but he ended up getting sick and passing away suddenly. And at that point, that's when I was like, all right, I got to switch gears. I got to figure out, first of all, what to do in my camper. Because I don't want to leave it here. So that's when I sold it, and I kind of had to start over.
Did you have it paid off before you sold it?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I sold it for more than what I got.
Nice.
So, but I sold it, and then I was finally old enough to actually go out and be able to, like, meet people, because I was not. I moved here when I was 19, and went out and basically just tried to run for mayor, just be friends with everybody, and I finally met a group of people, and we started writing. And but before that, you know, during the week, I was also writing with other people. Luke Combs was, coming over to my camper writing. And so he knows me in my trailer trash days.
You and Luke started writing how long ago?
Dang. As soon as he got here. Actually, it was before he even moved here. So I guess that was about 5-6 years ago now.
Has it been crazy to see Luke's ascent into superstardom?
It is nuts. It is so nuts because I'm like, I mean, he's just a good old boy, just a redneck boy, you know, who just works hard and knows what he wants. And I'm just so proud of him.
5 years ago when you're riding with Luke Combs, did you feel like there was something about him?
Yep.
You did?
I did. And actually, I'll tell you, I had not heard of Luke Combs. He was playing Tin Roof Revival down on Demumbrian, and he was sitting on the pew playing, and he had just got finished playing. And I'm not the kind of person to like to walk up to people, especially back then, and be like, hey, I want to write with you. Normally, it'd have to be kind of like, you know, somebody introduce us or whatever. But I had this weird feeling, and I walked straight up to him, tapped him. He was sitting on the pew, and I said, I want to write with you. And he was like, you want to write with me? And he was like, I mean, I can come back and you know, schedule some writes and whatever. So I don't even think he had written in Nashville just yet. And he came back. So I was one of his first co-writes in town. So I remind him of that all the time.
And how many times do you think you guys wrote over the years?
10 or 12.
Really?
Yeah.
And as you guys are writing, were you writing for yourselves, each other? Like
A lot of it was writing for him. He cut a song of mine called Share If You Want To. And, yeah, at that point, his artistry was, you know, he was starting to do really well, and people were starting to find out who Luke Combs was. And me, I was just trying to get my foot in the door. You know, I was like, well, maybe the way for me to get my foot in the door is through my writing. So, and that's kind of really, you know, what helped. I got put in that GPS program at ASCAP, where basically they choose, like, 10 writers, and they put you in, you know, rooms with publishers and stuff, and that's kind of how it happened for me. So it did start off with the whole writing thing.
Is for you, it was a publishing deal. How many years being here until you got a publishing deal?
7.5.
Wow.
I have not had my publishing deal long at all.
So you're writing all this time?
Yes.
And that would mean in the last year and a half you got your publishing deal?
Yep.
So, okay, well then how did that finally come about 7.5 years later?
7.5 years later. Yeah. So let's back up a little bit. So while I was writing for the first 5 years I was here, or I guess about like year four, I started going on the road with a guy named Frank Foster, who is, he's from Louisiana too. And he kind of has like that oil field fan base. So like Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Texas, like just some hardcore fans down there. And him and his wife took me under their wing. There's been a lot of good people who have just done stuff out of the goodness of their heart for me. And I don't really know why, but, took me on the road, and I went on the road with them for a couple years and just kind of learned the ropes of, you know, what the road was like. And I just still felt like, though, I didn't have a team of people around me in Nashville. I knew a lot of people. I have a lot of, like, songwriter friends, and, like, Luke, you know, he's killing it and everything. But I still didn't feel like I had my foot in the door. So I was like, all right, time to switch gears. So there's been a lot of, you know, gear shifting. And finally, got put in that GPS program and met with several publishers, probably about 5. And then finally, Sony ATV came to the table and offered me a publishing deal. And I was like, you can get paid to write a song? What in the world?
And how crazy is that after 7.5 years, you're getting paid to write?
It's nuts because I love it so much. I mean, literally, when I moved to Nashville, I did not know what a publishing deal was. I did not know that you could get paid, have a salary to write music. I mean, I would do it for free for the rest of my life. Don't tell Sony ATV that, but I would do it for free for the rest of my life because that's how much I love it. I mean, I have to do it.
Were you just grinding on the road all those years?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you were making your money?
Yep.
To pay rent or mortgage or bills? It was just all...
Yep. And high school, I taught guitar lessons and I impersonated Hannah Montana.
Well, let's both of these are something we got to dive into. So first of all, let's start with the easy one. You taught guitar lessons.
Yes.
Are you a proficient guitar player?
I mean, like, I know enough to get by. I mean, they weren't paying me the big bucks. I know enough to, like, teach somebody the basics.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were making okay money doing that?
Yeah. I mean, I was, yeah.
You ever grab an electric and play any of your leads?
Could you, on one string.
Could you?
Okay, the Hannah Montana thing's crazy to me.
Yes.
So you were, and you do look a little bit like Hannah Montana.
The best of both worlds.
Doesn't she, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, she does look.
Uh-huh.
So you were performing in high school as a Hannah Montana impersonator.
Yep.
And
5 years.
Did you do the thing where you had Lainey open up for Hannah Montana?
Yes,
I did. Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, it's kind of being funny.
No, okay, so. I really did. I was like, we're not leaving here without them knowing my name too, Bobby. Come on.
So you would open.
Yes.
And then you would put on Hannah Montana as costume.
Okay, so I had a little portable sound system and a little piece of junk karaoke machine style thing. And I had the wig. I had the outfits. I would go to a lot of these birthday, it was like birthday parties, fairs, festivals. The last one I did was at St. Jude. And a lot of the time, they didn't want Lainey Wilson there. They just wanted Hannah Montana to come to the party or whatever. So, but I would be sure to ask them. I'd be like, can Lainey make an appearance too? So yeah, I'd get up there, sing a few songs, play my guitar, and I'd be like, and up next.
And you would know the songs?
Oh yeah.
Did you ever do The Climb?
I did.
You did. You sang that?
You know, and it's a funny story. This is probably one of my most like defining moments of like, you got to do this. You got to move to Nashville. I was at St. Jude, and this little girl had had brain surgery like 2 days prior to the Hannah Montana concert. And they had told me before, they were like, you know, you can't touch the kids unless they come up to you. And, you know, then you can touch them, you know, if they make the first move first. Right. And
all my dating.
Yeah, I get it. So. Trust me. Don't make the first move. But anyway, I was just about to sing The Climb, and her dad, he wheeled her up to the front, and she was singing every word to The Climb. And I mean, I'm Hannah Montana's crying, my wig is on sideways. I'm like, everybody in the whole entire building is just squalling. And anyway, I turn around, and then she's like, looks at me again, and I hand her the microphone, and she sings the entire song.
Oh wow.
Like by herself, just kills it. Everybody's crying. And she hands me the microphone back, and she meant to say, Hannah Montana, you're my star. But she said, Hannah Montana, I'm your star. And I was like, you know what? You are. And I have got to do this the rest of my life.
And how long did you do Hannah Montana impersonating?
5 years.
Wow. Was that your best paying gig?
Absolutely. I made way more money then than I do now, I'm going to tell you right now.
I think there's often a misconception, too, with how much artists make until they're really making it.
We ain't making nothing.
It's almost like, you know, lower class, and then there's no middle class.
Oh, no.
Very rarely is there a middle class. It's low, and then boom. And not just music, but anything creative, even in my industry. Yep. I was broke, not broke anymore. And it went because as soon as someone sees value in you, they start investing in you because they know that if they invest in you, you're going to make them way more money.
That's right.
And it's always with any amount of money that you make, it's how much money are you making the person pay in you.
That's right.
And that's why artists who, it may not seem like they're doing a lot of actual work, especially like where I come from. It was a sawmill town. Yep. That is real work.
Yep.
That was like hard labor work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how much money can someone make off of you? Like, what is your skill that we can, I use the word exploit. What's the skill that we can exploit and we can make money? And then you make no money. Then someone goes, oh, you're actually really valuable. Now we're going to pay you. It's crazy. It's like a whole crazy world that we live in.
It is crazy.
So we met with Blanco's The Get Up video.
Yep.
He had posted the video, and I reached out to you because I didn't know who you were. Mm-hmm. I just saw you dancing with them, and I looked it up. I was like, oh, she's an artist. She lives here in town.
Yeah.
And so I hit you up, and I was like, hey, will you come teach me how to do this dance? And you were so nice enough to go, I mean, I can, but why don't I call Blanco and just have him? And I was like, oh, wow, she's like foregoing any sort of shot to be in a video to actually do the noble thing to get the real guy. So you're how I knew Blanco, and then you came over anyway, which I thought was great, and you worked with Kaylee Hammock, and Blanco worked with me, and I remember telling you, because I'd never heard your music, and I was like, if you're any good, I'm going to make this up to you, but only if you're any good. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to do it.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, and I was, I'm not going to do it if I don't love it, and I didn't even get your music from you. Yeah. I got your music from one of my guys.
Yeah.
Because we have the same management. Are you? Yep. Were you Red Light?
Mm-hmm.
And you, I think you were deciding at that point who your management was. And so I was like, hey, and so I heard your whole record.
Yeah.
And
I was like, oh, you did.
And I was like, and I chased it down, and I rarely listen to people's music, but I was just so grateful that you were so giving of your time. And then you didn't even want anything. You were like, no, no, I have to be in the video.
Oh, shoot. No, I was glad to be here.
You're like, nothing, I don't need anything. And I was like, wow, if she's any good, like, I like who she is. And then you were. Like, you definitely have a style about you. I started following you on Instagram. I don't even follow that many people on Instagram. Follow you on Instagram. Your music's great. When we get to pick the show this year at the Ryman, I pick, like, you know, like two new artists every year that I really think there are big things happening for.
Yep.
By the way, Luke Combs was that guy 2 years ago.
Whew, man.
You know, I mean, it's been a really cool thing to be able to do those shows. And so it was you, and I've just been real, real happy to see.
I just appreciate your support.
How fresh your voice is, how different it is while still being who you really are.
Thank you.
It's so hard to be authentic and be different and keep at it when people are going like, I don't know. But the people that hit the hardest are the people that you would go, I don't know. Because if you don't, people aren't like, I don't know, then it means you're like everybody else.
No, and honestly, I can't be anything but myself. If anybody was trying to change me, it just wouldn't work.
You know what I also find really cool about you is I don't know your friend. Who's your best friend?
Casey Tindall.
I only know her from your Instagram.
Yeah.
But you guys are together and best. I can tell you guys are like best friends.
Yep, best friends.
And
she's my girl.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. Like, that's real stuff. Your picture,
I give her a hard time.
Well, and I don't, again, she's an artist too?
Yes, she is.
She any good?
She's awesome.
But for real though.
She is, I'm telling you right now, like, I'm not friends with sucky people.
Here's your caption.
I can't lie to them.
From the picture at the Ryman last night, your caption. 5-year-old Lainey, who was terrified to sing Butterfly Kisses at her kindergarten graduation, would really be freaking out tonight. Soundcheck at the Ryman was just as magical as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. Soaking it up tonight.
I meant every word.
Pretty cool, huh?
Every word.
I'm going to play a little bit of your music. I think some of our folks would like to hear your music if they haven't yet. Mike, let's do Dirty Looks, which is the current single.
Getting dirty looks from people at the bar. Getting dirty looks, but don't you know who you are? Getting dirty looks like everybody's got something to tell us. But they ain't nothing but jealous, baby. Something about rough hands on a hardworking man. I just want to get all over you. Like the dirt on your shirt and your jeans and your boots. If you ask me.
And here's a song that I've put into our iHeartCountry show, the Women of iHeartCountry. And this is LA, except it's not Los Angeles.
That's right. It's the other LA, Louisiana.
Yeah, here you go.
When you say LA, I think Louisiana, lower Alabama, stars up in the sky. And I
did. You ever do the cover band thing?
I did.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It went.
Did you ever play covers in Nashville on like Broadway? Did you ever have that life?
No. Like I said earlier, like I would just travel back to like Louisiana, Mississippi.
You didn't want to not drive all that way? You didn't want to find a bar gig?
I was making such good money in Louisiana. Like I literally could do this acoustic show at this place called Pickle Barrel. I could do a 4-hour set and the guy would give me everything at the door. And he was charging like $5 or $10 a person. And I mean, I could go and I could make $1,500. And then I'd have to be down on Broadway killing my voice for, you know, to make 50.
So what about the drive? How long was that drive?
8 hours.
Oof. Would you drive it all yourself?
Yep.
Oh. What did you mean when you said you wanted to be the female Jason Aldean?
Man. Just unapologetically badass. Just like get up there and just do your thing, you know? Like I've always looked up to him. I just think I can't believe I'm on the same roster as him either with label, but I just think he just puts on a great show. He's high energy, and I love that. And I can tell that he loves it and he enjoys it. And I want to kind of do the same thing. You know, I want people to know, like, I love what I do. I'm going to put everything I got into it, and I think he does that.
Who'd you listen to growing up?
Dolly Parton, Leanne Womack, everything 90s country. Tim McGraw was actually from about 5 miles up the road from where I'm from, so.
Was everybody super proud of Tim McGraw?
Like, oh, my
he
gosh.
He was, like, the home guy?
Yeah, he's, like, you know, I was, like, oh, if Tim can do it, maybe I can do it. And hopefully, you know, there's a little girl or a boy who maybe will feel the same way about me, because that, it gave me hope. I'm like, golly, he's from Stark, Louisiana, you know. I'm from Baskin. Like, I can do this thing too. So I ain't got to meet him yet, but.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy.
Is he?
A lot of muscles.
Yep.
Smaller now than you think because he's so ripped.
Yeah.
When I met him, you wouldn't meet him and go, oh, he's a small guy.
Yeah.
But now you meet him and you go, oh, he's really thin.
He's a small guy, yeah.
He works out 4 hours a day. Yep. Last night was the national championship game. We're recording this the day after, and he played New Orleans, which had to be great for him because, one, he's playing New Orleans. Two, LSU was in the game, and then LSU won the national championship. It was like Tim McGraw's greatest night last night.
It sure was.
you're Mount Rushmore of country artists. Now, we'll do five of them. We always do four plus one. I know you mentioned who you like, but if you had to put a Mount Rushmore, we'll just do favorite artist, period. So mine, I would put John Mayer in mine,
yep.
Also with Garth Brooks. And who would you put in your Mount Rushmore favorite artists?
Dolly's got to be up there for sure.
Okay, there's one.
And you don't want me to give my reasons why.
Sure.
Also have not met Dolly Parton, but I have this song called What Would Dolly Do? And I think Dolly Parton is just, when I think of just all around, just incredible, everything from her look to her music to her songwriting, how she's an incredible businesswoman. Like, Dolly's just got it. To how she tells it how it is with a little bow wrapped on top, like, that's why I love her. So, there's one.
Here's the thing about Dolly, and I know you think that you see her in TV interviews and radio interviews, and she's great, but she's even better than that. She is. I also was, and I've got to spend some time with Dolly. A bunch of times, actually. Enough now to where it's not a one hit and you go, oh, I wonder if she's really that nice.
She really is that nice.
It's not a nice thing. It's a pure, genuine thing. Where sometimes she's not acting a nice or not nice way. She's just being herself. But it is a magnet in the room. There are only about four people I've met that have the magnet. Where it's just like, she walks in the room and it's just, she sucks up the room and everyone is just in awe. Not because she's Dolly Parton, but because she's just demanding your presence with her attitude and actions. Funny, just
warm. I know. I have not heard one bad thing about her.
Here's the people that are like that. Dolly, Reba, mm-hmm. Same thing. Reba is a little, I would say, a little less warm, but also way funnier.
Yep.
It's just a different kind of, yep. You like her.
Reba would probably be another one of mine.
Reba's awesome.
All right, so Dolly and Reba.
Garth is on, and not on the Mount Rushmore, but Garth is another one of those guys. And Garth is so loving.
And he's my neighbor.
It's like Garth's like a teddy bear. Wait, you live next to Garth now?
Yep. He'll ride by.
Where are you living now? Mike, how fast did this change? You got a mansion now or what?
Yep, that's it. I'm off my Hannah Montana money.
And the other one is for a whole different way, because he comes in a room with so much personality. And I see it now a lot because we work together, is Luke Bryan. He's just like, hey, y'all. It's all Luke. And yep. He's also a really good guy. Yep. But those are the four. Okay, so you have Dolly on your Mount Rushmore.
I said Reba, too.
Why Reba to you?
Also, I think she's just an all-around, like, I think she's a hard worker. I think, I'm not going to say, like, she's never satisfied, because, like, I'm sure she's you know, proud of herself and satisfied, but I think she just kind of got the mentality of, like, all right, what's next? And I love that. I hope I'm the same way. Like, I think that's how she's been. Grew up listening to all her stuff and looking up to her, too. Golly.
That's two. So far, we have three to go, because we do a Mount Rushmore plus one, but the plus one is not an addition. We just do five.
Okay,
so you have Dolly. You have Reba.
Okay.
Go ahead. You can put a band up there, whatever you want.
Maybe Vince Gill.
Okay.
Who else?
You met Vince?
Briefly.
Lovely guy.
See, I love hearing those kind of stories. I hate when I hear awful stuff about people that I love.
And I would say nothing. I would just be like, okay, cool. I don't build people up.
Okay.
With false foundation.
Yep.
Love. Vince is just, he talks so soft.
Yep.
And he's so kind. Yep. Whatever you need, he'll come by. Yep. Lovely guy.
Yep. This might be a different one, but my daddy played guitar, and he would sit in the living room, and he'd play a lot of Buck Owens.
Yeah.
And so Buck Owens would probably be up there for me.
What was the Buck Owens connection? Was your dad a California guy at all?
No, he's not. No. He just knew a few little Buck Owens little licks on the guitar, and he'd play them over and over again. And so that's probably my third one.
The Buck Owens, that's your fourth.
Fourth. One. I can't count.
The Buck Owens thing, too, is interesting because I used to watch Hee Haw a lot. And there was a lot of, like, older Buck Owens.
Yep.
And so that, for me, because my grandma and I would watch Hee Haw on the Grand Ole Opry. That's why it's so important to me. Mm-hmm. And that's why that I love playing the Opry so much, is that it was made important. Like you said, your dad would play Buck Owens. My grandma, we'd watch Hee Haw all the time. Mm-hmm. And we'd watch or listen to the Opry, depending on when it was on TNN or wherever it was.
Yeah.
But Buck Owens was familiar to me because of Hee Haw, and then I kind of learned his music after that.
Yep.
Buck, Vince Gill, Reba, Dolly, anyone out of country music?
I love me some Lizzo.
Oh, okay. You're going really? Okay. What about Lizzo do you like?
She is herself, like completely herself. I mean, she's a little crazy, but I love her. I think she is sassy. I love sassy. She's killing it.
You put out this EP that it was just called Lainey Wilson, right? Last year?
Yes.
Okay, so when you put that out, would you make any money off that?
Heck no. Not much.
Enough to where did you ever get any check for it at all?
Like probably a couple $100. Yeah. I mean, not a whole lot. The most money I have made off of that is one of the songs. Working Overtime actually got put into Yellowstone, the show Yellowstone on Paramount.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it was the second season, first episode.
And so what do they pay you for that? You know?
$20,000.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Using the song in a show?
Yeah.
Wait, how often do they play that?
Are you going to be trying to write? We're going to be trying to write it for the Yellowstone.
Did they run it every episode?
I mean, it's not literally. It's like $20,000. That's it. Period. Done.
No. Great. I'll take it. That's it. Done. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But where did they use that song?
They used it. It was literally a bar fight scene. A bull was busting into the bar. And I sat there on my couch and collected a check.
Wow. I'm blown away that it was that. I have friends that have done sync work.
Oh, they're killing it. They're not telling you, but they're killing it.
Wow.
I'm telling you, like.
Good for you.
Like, sync is where it's at. I've been here lately trying to write specifically, like, for myself, but also for sync. I've got some friends that do a lot of that, and they make bank.
My friend Brandon Ray writes sync. He just sets days and writes for sync. That's it.
That's it.
And he was writing, and still does, and he has a band called Badland Sons, but he is a great writer, but he's like, you know, I can sit and grind out 100 country songs, and maybe one of them gets a hold, or I can write sync and get 1 out of 9 maybe used somewhere and actually pay my mortgage.
Yep,
that's crazy. You got $20,000 for a bar fight scene on with the kid that Kevin Costner show.
And the good thing is I'm hoping to get some more of them because I played the show in Vegas and the guy who put on the show was one of the producers, Taylor Sheridan.
Of the show.
Yeah. And he told me, he was like, text me some more songs. Like, it's so crazy. Like, I don't know why all these nice people are wanting to help me. I mean, it's incredible, but it's just.
Okay, I'm going to use an analogy that I have with you for why all these nice people want to help you, okay?
Okay.
I would go, why would Lainey come over to my house and just volunteer her time to teach something and then also be.
Okay.
Yeah, you see where I'm going here? And also be so unselfish to go, oh, I don't need any payment or I don't need to be in the video. I'm just here to help out. And I would go, why in the world would she do that? Why? Because you just like to help people. The same reason people did that to you and the same reason you're going to continue doing that. And hopefully those people continue to do that to people. And that's what we do.
That's right.
That's what we were taught to do.
That's right.
Look out for each other. So that's why you got to stop saying that because you do the same thing for people. And I bet they wonder. I know they wonder because I wonder. I was like, why would Lainey do that? Why would she just show up and like, what's the, there was no play except for you were just helping out.
I'm just nice.
Yeah. And they were just nice to you.
I know. I'm not used to people being nice, Bobby.
So we're going to stop that whole,
I'm not saying it anymore. I'm done.
Like, second, you're doing it back already. You don't even know you're doing it and you're doing it.
Okay.
Dang.
I'm done.
I did see that you're going to go out with Justin Moore and Tracy Lawrence.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Justin, that's my dude. That's my Arkansas dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dude.
Yep.
And one of the first shows that the Raging Idiots did as a band, we opened for Tracy Lawrence like 4 years ago in Florida. And it was freaking cool because it's Tracy Lawrence.
Yep.
Like, you grow up listening to the radio.
Then you know who Tracy Lawrence is.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I listen to Kiss of 96 all the time, and I know every Tracy Lawrence song.
Yeah.
How about the tape? And so that's pretty cool. Late nights and long necks.
That's
when,
right.
When do they tell you you'd be on? By the way, you're perfect for this tour. You're
country to the bone.
You're perfect for this tour. When did you get that call that that was your tour?
About a month ago. And I knew I was on the list, but they had not chosen. And they called me and I freaked out. I mean, I've been a big fan of both of them for years. Years and years and years. I've seen their shows. I've actually opened up for Tracy when I was like 18 years old at some bar in Monroe.
Is that right?
And he...
Did you meet him?
No, I didn't.
And that's the thing, too. A lot of people think if you open up for somebody, you spend a bunch of time with them.
Heck
I have
no.
friends that have done full tours and only met their opening act once or twice.
I know.
And so, but it's still pretty cool that you're opening for Tracy Lawrence.
Yep. I can't believe I'm actually getting to go on like a real tour with them.
Yeah, so let's see, you're going to go January all the way to April. That's a long one. So are you vanning it?
We are. We're sprinter vanning.
Good
it.
For you. That's the grind.
That's it. Yep, I have a truck and trailer that we take to most of our shows, but I'm getting a tour manager. I mean, like, I'm starting to kind of step it up. I never had a tour manager, so we don't have enough room in the truck anymore, so we're going to van it, and I'm going to do that as long as I possibly can.
The great thing about a tour manager is that they manage everything, mm-hmm. you know? Food, everything's taken. The bad thing about a tour manager is it's another bill to pay.
I know.
So hopefully you get a guitar player that can double and do both. I don't know. Are you just been getting a tour manager by himself?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, baller. He lives next to Garth. You got our own tour manager?
Well, I'm like Garth's little town people. I'm at the like foothill. Garth passes by. One day I'm going to act like I'm passing out or having a heart attack or something.
Did you hire you a band? Do you have a band?
Yep.
What do you have?
It's me, electric, bass, and drums. It's going to be a 20-minute set, so I mean, it's like quick throw and go.
Yeah, the first one up.
Yeah. And two, because it's like a co-headlining for them too, so I'm sure they'll be playing.
Long sets each, yeah. Well, if you want to go check the tour out, it starts January 16th in Dodge City, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Rolls all the way to April 11th in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Are you guys doing Nashville at all? I don't think so. But you are playing Baton Rouge. That'll be a fun show for you, huh?
Oh, it's going to be fun.
And you're playing Alexandria. Will your family come out to those shows?
Oh, my redneck family. They're all saying, how are we going to get tickets? Da, 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 da. I'm like, y'all going to pay? Like, this is how I make my living. Y'all going to pay for them tickets.
Do you know how many free tickets you get per show? Have you had that talk yet?
Yeah. 10.
That's cool. And Justin's a good dude. Justin's got a good crew around him, too.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun.
I have played a couple shows with him. I played Baltimore with him and then somewhere in upstate New York, and I have not met him.
You haven't met Justin?
I have not met Justin.
He's like you.
Yeah.
You guys are a lot alike. We're both from really small towns in Arkansas. We played ball against each other.
Really?
Our towns were so close, and we went to both super small schools.
Who won?
I don't know. Probably us. Because he went to Poen. I went to Mountain Pine. Probably us, but yeah. I'm not sure. He's oddly a really good athlete because he's, really? You know, he's a pretty small guy. But he's a really good athlete, and that's also a guy you do not want to get in a fight with. Like, yeah. When it comes to... Yes.
I believe it. Scrappy.
He's a gritty dude.
Uh-huh.
All right, cool. So that's cool. So what's happening? When are you going to like do the full record? When's that coming out?
I believe we're shooting for May.
Yeah.
So basically the EP, Redneck Hollywood, is going to roll into, you know, the rest of the record. I can't wait for everybody to hear it. But yeah, we did a full record with Jay Joyce. Can't believe I got to get in there and do a whole record with him, but... Everybody told me they were like, he's kind of scary, you know, like he's intimidating and he wears this black trench coat and whatever. But by the time I was finished recording the entire record, I mean, he's one of my greatest friends now. Kindred spirits.
Redneck Hollywood, 4 songs out now. You may be hearing this after the whole album comes out because these things kind of exist and do well for a long time. Especially after you blow up, people are going to be coming to check out the first time that you were on the podcast, your first podcast. Yeah,
they're
like,
right.
They're like, she didn't even know how to use a microphone back then. Now she's all blowing up. But listen, I'm proud of you.
Thank you, friend.
And it's only the beginning for
Thank
you.
Thank you.
I'm glad I got to, you just moved to town 9 years ago.
I just got here 9 years ago.
But now it's like, but isn't it crazy? Like, people are stepping in to pay for some of your stuff. You got a management team, which is wild, looking out for your stuff. You know, and they're investing, right now they're investing in you because I'm sure your rate's 15%. I'm not sure what your rate. It's usually the standard rate. And they're probably putting more into you than you're putting back into them right now, which is weird.
Yep.
And eventually they'll get it back. Once you blow up, then they
we're going to be all right.
Yeah, they're going to be all right eventually. Yeah. But to have someone invest in you is a great feeling.
It is a great feeling.
Because that's money. Money ain't free.
Well, and for the longest time, I was like, ain't nobody trying to work with me. I mean, looking back on it now, I'm glad nothing happened for 7.5 years. I mean, I say nothing happened, but it was happening the way it was supposed to. But yeah, I was not ready. I thought I was ready when I was 16 years old. I was like, I'm going to be the next Taylor Swift. But didn't happen. 9 years later.
Publishing deal, record deal, management, going to get a tour manager. Look at you.
I hung up the Hannah Montana wig. No more Hannah Montana.
No, you should bring that out. We should come on the show and do Hannah Montana. Mike, wouldn't that be fun? Bring
her radio
show.
Let's do it.
Have her bring it back.
Come on.
At Lainey Wilson Music. L-A-I-N-E-Y.
That's right.
At Lainey Wilson Music.
Yep.
And you're on TikTok?
I am. I just got a TikTok.
It's fun.
So I hadn't done anything cool on there just yet.
It's my favorite. I don't do a lot on there, but I watch a lot of stuff.
You do?
Yeah, it's good content, good music discovery.
You can go down a rabbit hole real fast.
Quickly.
Though.
I go down a lot of rabbit holes in a lot of places. All right, Lainey, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, episode 222, Lainey Wilson. Be sure to check out Redneck Hollywood. And then if it's after May, or I don't know, we're recording this in 2020. Maybe, I don't know. Check out maybe our third record maybe out by that time. yeah, there you go. Thank you. We'll see you next time.